You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up on Wisconsin Life, we'll learn about a large-scale street art installation that's going to cover two blocks of Milwaukee with murals.
First, there's been a growing push to take a more humanistic approach in social service and correctional institutions. The approach means looking at trauma and past history in particular to understand how to treat mental health and address criminal justice problems.
A lot of research has shown that certain negative childhood experiences can lead to longer-term problems well into adulthood, and Wisconsin's been part of a nationwide move toward trauma-informed care. That term also made into the headlines alongside scandal at the Lincoln Hills Juvenile Correctional Center, which blamed the newer approach for security and disciplinary breaches.
Dee Hall joins us now. She's the managing editor and co-founder of the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. Her report on trauma-informed care was published yesterday, and it's posted on the Central Time Facebook page. Dee, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You start your piece telling the story of a woman named Tamara Oman and how trauma-informed care changed her life. Can you tell us a little bit about her story?
Yeah, Tamara is a very open and actually quite a funny and delightful woman whom I ran across because she's become a spokesperson for trauma-informed care in this state. And she had a very rough childhood. There was physical abuse. There was sexual abuse turned into some substance abuse on her part. She ended up committing crimes and she ended up in prison. But she was able to sort of identify and deal with the trauma that she had suffered as a child, which she believes was sort of the source of a lot of her problems, and that a lot of what she was doing to herself, a lot of the sabotaging of her success, was due to these early childhood experiences.
Let's get a handle on the definitions here. Trauma-informed care, what is that and how does it differ from other approaches that we might take?
I think one way it's been described to me, it puts the human back in human services. So it is an approach. It's not really a program exactly, but it's more of an approach of understanding that a lot of people have suffered a lot of things in their lives and being sensitive to that and trying to avoid triggering them, making them feel bad, or somehow reliving the incident or incidents. And also just understanding that these kind of early experiences can have a lot of effects. In children, for example, it can affect their learning and how well they're able to pay attention in school or whether they're able to accomplish certain tasks in a certain way. So it's more of an approach. And so I looked at it across the state of Wisconsin in a bunch of different ways.
Well, Wisconsin in particular, it sounds like, has embraced trauma-based care. Where have you seen it being used and how is it working?
So I visited the courtroom of a Milwaukee County Circuit judge. Her name's Judge Mary Trigiano, and she uses trauma-informed care in her courtroom. She wants to know the life stories of all the people who are before her in the adult. It's a drug treatment court for people who've lost custody of their children. And so they work very closely with these individuals, not just trying to say, okay, you have to pass these drug tests and you have to go to these meetings, but talking to them about their trauma and trying to overcome their trauma and move forward in a successful way.
What do we know about how well it works, how effective it is at helping people maybe not end up in the criminal justice system, hold down jobs, stay in housing, that kind of thing?
It's a little tough to know because since it's an approach and not a specific 1-2-3 program. So it's mostly anecdotal evidence. For example, Judge Trigiano, I asked her, you know, are you guys measuring this in any way? She said, we're not exactly measuring it, but we just know that for some people, for many people, it works really, really well. And the reason I started to get into this is I was noticing trauma-informed care being invoked as an approach on a whole variety of sectors in Wisconsin, starting from First Lady Tonette Walker on down, and I just wanted to examine, well, who's using it and how are they using it and is it working?
So in terms of who actually conducts this sort of care, healing of the past, these childhood traumas, is it something that takes place between a counselor and their client, I guess, over the long term?
It can, but it can also be in everyday interactions that people have with other people. For example, I went up to Waupaca County, and they have tried to transform their Department of Health and Human Services into a completely trauma-informed agency. And so it shows itself in ways such as the people who are manning the call centers where people call in and they're having problems getting their benefits, you know, rather than just, you know, saying, you know, check, you know, you did this wrong, sorry, you can't get your benefits. It becomes more of a, okay, I understand you're probably frustrated, I understand you've gone through a lot, let's figure out a way together. To solve your problem. And so it is more of a building relationships, even with, in their case, even with parents who've been accused of child abuse and neglect, which I find kind of hard. But they said that their reunification rates have skyrocketed since they started this approach of more working with parents, even when the parents were accused of child maltreatment.
We're talking with Dee Hall right now from the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, talking about trauma-informed care and how it's working in Wisconsin. And Dee, let's get to a little bit of the criticism of trauma-informed care. Now, some officials at the Lincoln Hills Correctional Facility, which has been plagued with all manner of charges in the last year or so, have said that perhaps some of what went wrong there was put down to trauma-informed care. What do you say, and what did you find out about that?
Well, there's a union official whom I interviewed up there, and he says he's in daily contact with the workers at Lincoln Hills, and it is the assessment of not everyone up there, but many of the frontline workers, that this new approach, which is more empathetic, it's less punitive, has resulted in a breakdown in security and discipline at the facility, which has made it more dangerous for staff and more dangerous for other juvenile inmates there. The folks higher up the food chain disagree. They say this is the standard of care in our state. It's becoming the standard of care everywhere, and that the problems at Lincoln Hills are not related to their use starting in about 2014 or so of trauma-informed care.
You also interviewed some academics looking at childhood trauma, and they're given something called an ACE score, it sounds like. And it sounds like there's a big correlation between how high that score is and future outcomes. What do you know about that?
Right. So this was developed several years ago. It's called the Adverse Childhood Experience. It's a quiz, and it's up to 10 yes or no questions. And it involves things that may have happened to you when you were a child, and they range anything from being physically or sexually abused to having a person who, a parent who's in prison. So what you do is, you know, depending on how big your ACE score is, your chances of having some adverse outcomes yourself, like being unemployed, being incarcerated, having a substance abuse problem, are very tightly correlated with these bad things that happened to you when you were a kid. And so that's sort of the theory behind it, is if you can understand what all of your adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs as they call them, are, you might have a better chance of figuring out, oh, that's why I do that, or, oh, okay, that's why I think about things this way. And then some people are able to address their problems knowing those things.
And the statistics are actually a little staggering on this. There's a surprisingly large amount of people who can look back and say they have had one of these childhood trauma experiences, more than you might think.
Yeah, it's almost 60% in Wisconsin for the surveys that have been done. Now, that can be anywhere from a single incident, which a child is able to overcome very well because they have supportive family around them and they have other resiliency factors. But it can really derail people as well, too.
What kind of training hubs are there in Wisconsin? If someone's listening right now, say, and they want to try to administer this, where would they go?
Well, there's the National Traumatic Stress Network, I believe it's called, which is sort of a national clearinghouse. And you will also see, if you are in certain schools in Wisconsin, they're starting to roll this out as an approach with their students. We're also seeing it in some of the social services, like foster families. Caregivers are starting to be trained in this approach as well.
It's interesting reading the piece. You get the sense that, at least among a segment of the population, they have been living with this wound for decades of their life, and they were almost just waiting for someone to say, what happened?
Right. That's exactly what, you know, that's sort of the classic approach. It's instead of, you know, what did you do? The first question in trauma-informed care is, what happened to you? And the idea is that when you're ready to tell your story, you're able to sort of unload a bunch of the stuff that's probably been derailing you in your life. So there was a woman who gave a very, very shocking, I guess I would say, but very moving talk at a convention last fall of juvenile and child welfare officials in Wisconsin. And she overcame the kind of trauma that you can't even imagine. 19 years on the street, homeless, crack addict, multiple children taken away from her at birth. It was just a terrible, terrible situation. But to see her now, she is successful. She has homes. She has a daughter who is thriving in school. And it was that question, what happened to you, that she says led to her eventual recovery.
Dee, thank you so much for joining us.
All right. Thanks a lot.
That was Dee Hall. She's a co-founder and managing editor of the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. And she recently covered the use of trauma-focused care in Wisconsin social service institutions.